Welcome to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Dialing up the latest tactics and hottest trends, we're here to help you take your B2B game from stagnant to stellar.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Marianne. And together, we're ready to answer your burning B2B sales and marketing questions.
Each episode, we'll tackle a need-to-know topic in the ever-evolving world of B2B sales and marketing. We'll break it down with actual takeaways that you can implement right away.
And because you don't get results without real talk, we're wrapping up every show with a quick Q&A segment. So fire away with your burning questions.
Whether you're a seasoned sales leader or a marketing maestro just starting out, the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline is your one-stop shop to take your B2B efforts to the next level. Hello! We're excited to be back today.
Hi, Emily.
Hello, Marianne. Well, for all of you listeners at home, you get a treat today because we are actually going to be discussing the art of crafting a B2B podcast on our very own B2B podcast. It's going to be good.
I know.
Yeah. So we're excited to talk about it. People are really getting into the podcasting space and businesses are moving towards, looking at podcasting as a legitimate form of content creation and something that everyone should be considering in their marketing strategy. So it feels like a really relevant time to have this conversation.
I agree. Definitely relevant. And also, I feel like people consider this like mind-blowing. And I talked to a prospect yesterday about the idea of a podcast and it really overwhelmed her. But podcasting is just a different platform to communicate the same content that everyone is out there making all the time. Whatever you're creating and putting out there, it's just transforming it to podcast audio form. It's not, I think it sounds overwhelming because of the logistics and the technology that go into it, but the actual content is not that different.
Yes, it's absolutely the logistics that scare people. And I don't think that that is unfamiliar. I think the logistics of a lot of content, creating an ebook as a business owner, how do you get there? It's the same thing, I think, and walking through kind of the thinking and the strategizing behind podcasting might, pull back the curtain a little and make people feel a little more comfortable with the concept. Yeah. So I think first let's talk about just kind of like the benefits of podcasting and like why a business would get into the business of putting out a podcast of their own. And I think you just said the first thing, which is just another form of content creation. We're putting out a lot of blogs, we're putting out a lot of ebooks, we're putting out a lot of marketing and sales material. This is a video format. It's audio. It's something different. It cuts through the noise a little bit better. It's just different and allows businesses to have just a different content approach.
Yeah. I mean, it allows more people to access your brand because it's coming at them in a new format. So yeah, brand awareness, the number one reason you create any content, to have people understand and know who you are and what your brand does and then potentially how it can help them. So
yeah, and then that leads right on into lead gen. So the more people that know about you, the more people that hear about you, you're teaching them, you're giving them information, they're learning about you. And the goal is we're bringing them through that buyer's journey and ultimately they're becoming a lead. So right. I think podcasting really does fall into the same category, the same type of thing as everything else we've talked about. It really is just another form of content.
But I like it more than other forms because it allows that thought leadership to come with personality.
Yeah.
So not just, you can do that on other formats too, but I do like the personality that shines through on an audio format that isn't quite as structured or rigid as something that's like typed out or published, written. So I kind of like that as something unique about the type of content of podcast.
Yeah, it puts a face and a personality to the actual content, which is nice. And it can be consumed in different ways, right? Like you wouldn't read a blog or an ebook while you're driving in a car, but you could listen to a podcast while you're driving in a car. So it's it allows more people to listen to you in different ways more often. So.
And actually, you kind of could, because you could download the transcript, which downloading transcripts of podcasts to be able to read in the same format as an ebook or
That's true. Oh, I was thinking a the audio of a ebook. No, you're right.
Yeah, the trans.
I was like, wait, what?
What? How do I listen to it?
That's so funny. Well, you know, when we're thinking about people making a podcast and what that looks like, there are a bunch of different like formats, things that, you know, ways that people structure theirs. So you might notice like Marianne and I, we don't have guests on our podcast, at least not yet. And we talk, we have conversation, we talk to each other. You know, that's one type of the, you know, lots of different formats, lengths, you know, options.
It's ever evolving. I mean, oh my goodness. I feel like just in the past year, I've seen even more creativity coming out with links and formats. I really think that when podcasting in the business world started, it was very focused on the interview kind of ways, like interviewing industry experts, interviewing partners, interviewing clients for case studies. It was very interview focused. So I don't know. I feel like I like how it's really expanded recently. Longer interviews, shorter one person podcast episodes. But yeah, I think people are getting really creative with that.
Yeah, I was just listening to a podcast on my way home from dropping the kids at daycare, and I was it was one person telling a story. It was like literally just they had a story about marketing, and they walked through like the creation of the entire campaign start to finish. And I thought it was really cool. I was like, oh, I'm just listening to one person talk about marketing. It wasn't, and you know, that's just an example of like creativity.
No, I love it. I think that's great. I've been listening to my alma mater, Auburn University, has a podcast where they're interviewing different professors. So that's been kind of cool.
That is cool.
Interview based, but it's been really interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool. I genuinely enjoy listening to podcasting while like driving or getting ready or going somewhere. And I think it allows you to like learn and think about new things in a, yeah, like a less like structured way. It really is. It's very cool. And I love seeing like podcast clips on social media too. I think that that's like an easy digestible way. And like, again, going back to our conversation around like marketing, like the remix conversation and like what other ways you can use content. You can take podcast episodes and turn them into social media posts. You can turn them into reels or TikToks or, you know, all kinds of different ways to get your brand out.
Or vice versa. You could take your five most popular blog posts on your site and turn them into a one host podcast where they are explaining, talking through in a less formal way than the blog is written, what the blog is about, to reach,
yes,
you know people are interested in it. So reaching people in that way.
We were just talking too about like mixing it up with like different lengths of podcasts, you know, having like maybe a podcast that's 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and then maybe having some podcasts that are just like 5-6 minutes that are just a quick, you know, quick information, quick take on something.
Right.
We were just talking about that right before this. And I think that's something to share too. You know, it, not all podcasts have to be 20 right. minutes, 30 minutes. They can be quick little podcast.
So, and it's less overwhelming, right? I mean, sometimes when we start listening to those long ones, we're like, oh boy, here we go. I listen to Armchair Expert, Dax Shepard, and they are so long. Yeah. I mean, it is overwhelming long. It takes me a whole flight to listen to one every single time. I mean, it's a lot. But okay, this kind of transitions me. Sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. But this really transitions me into thinking about, I mean, we're talking about all the different types of content there are and how to repurpose content into a podcast format. But really, I think that there's a new concept of sense making out there. And I think that makes a lot of, that's very applicable for the podcast world, because we're not just necessarily giving more information or telling more information or giving more content to the users out there, but we're helping make sense of, podcasts help make sense of the content that's already out there, or at least they can, right? So not just providing information, but helping the user or the listener evaluate information and
understand. I love that. It's so true. I feel like a lot of people feel like they have to present something like new or different or, you know, like groundbreaking information in order for it to be like relevant to the.
Yes.
That's not the case. Like,
that's a big part of the fear. I know we said the fear is the technical aspect, but like, I actually really do think it's not having groundbreaking information and making sure that you feel like the expert on it and can share something that's valuable. But sometimes and often what your user wants is it to be a sense-making topic and not necessarily just throwing at you all types of stats and new information.
Yeah, it's so true. I actually feel like a lot of the podcast episodes we've been doing, like this right here, is like, you know, making sense of the topic of podcasting. Like, you're maybe not learning anything new here, but just the idea of like putting it all together. I really like that idea of sense making. I think that's really cool. And I think that that applies across the board to, you know, as people are thinking of content in general, thinking about it from, you know, are there topics or things that your prospects or clients don't understand, and how can we make sense of them versus just come up with new, you know, things to throw at them? Because people do get like fatigued by like new content all the time, especially like opposing views on things. Yes. People just kind of shut down. They're like, I don't know what to talk about, so I'm just gonna not listen to any of it. Yeah,
that's so true.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like the last topic we have to talk about with podcasting is how to measure it, because I had a conversation with a prospect who was considering doing a podcast the other day, and it's hard. Wow. You know, it is hard to track metrics for any marketing. And we in the digital marketing realm love that it's HubSpot analytics, and the analytics of our analytics are a lot more achievable to track than many other platforms. Mm-hmm. But podcasting, you have downloads, you'll know how many downloads it gets, but it is harder. The audio format is harder to track success on a one-to-one scale.
Yeah. It's hard to attribute like actual bottom line revenue to like a podcast listen.
Or even leads generated. Yeah. I mean, it can be hard. I mean, it can be, it's not as cut and dry.
I mean, Lead G2, our company, we do these podcasts for our company, and we have gotten leads that have turned into sales from our podcast. However, it's not been that many. And I think that's important for people to know when going into podcasting in general. It's not going to be like, you know, the magic bullet that gets you right. Like tons of leads and all this like recognition. And I think that going into the podcasting space, having your own podcast, you want to be going into it more for like a branding and thought leadership perspective.
Well, and contributing to that sales process, right? Yeah. Playing a part in your sales process, not being the whole process, right? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the success metrics would be, you know, obviously seeing downloads for sure, but also Is your sales team finding that these episodes are valuable to their prospects? Are they able to, you know, share that with someone who's maybe like not responding to them?
Right.
Or are they able to use your podcast to further their sales process? Almost like podcasting equals sales enablement, would you say? Yeah.
And then there's other ways to like specifically track episodes or traffic to the site where it's hosted, where on your website, blog posts and the call to action button on that blog post that leads to podcasting, your overall website traffic, if people
social
are
media clicks
and going your social media. So all the things that we're doing in a normal, digital marketing world, pushing the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's true. You know, it's all the things that you normally would do. And then just kind of knowing that this really is thought leadership. Like having a podcast really is thought leadership. It's a very like middle of the funnel, easy, consumable content for listeners.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Should we go to the questions?
Let's do it. Let's answer some questions.
The first question that was submitted, do you have any tips for creating content that confront customers' concerns head on?
I feel like we've talked about this in the past, but I mean, I think the only way for someone who's creating content to know what the customer's concerns are talking to sales.
Right? I knew you were going to say that. I literally knew what you were going to say.
Because we should make assumptions about
I knew it. I knew it because we did the same. And
funny.
We also have talked about this a lot, and it's just so true. Marketers don't, you know, a lot, and you have a lot of insights, and then sales have insights that you don't have. And we all know that we are trying for sales to listen to marketing more, but we also need to listen to sales more. Yes. And hear from them what they're hearing out in the field and in their meetings. So yeah, totally agree.
And then I think when it comes to like actually creating content that confronts those concerns, you know, put yourself in the shoes of someone who has this concern, you know, whatever it might be. I'll put an example of like, how long does it take me to switch vendors? Okay. Yeah. Put yourself in the shoes of the person reading it. What blog post is going to actually answer that concern? Like, you know, actually have, you know, tips, real answers for them. Or else, you know, I sometimes get bothered by like blog posts or like long form content that doesn't actually answer the question. So make sure that you're actually answering the concern within your content.
I know. It's like the, or when you go to look for recipe, best chocolate chip cookies. And then it's like the best chocolate chip cookies pops up and you click on it. And then it's like,
where they were
well, I grew up on the farm. I'm like, what? I'm not looking for a recipe. I want a recipe here. But, yes. No, I think talking to sales, I think directly answering questions. And also I would say another answer to this would be, not leading your content with addressing their fears or their worries and not your, services, right? Mm. So not just trying to, well, outsourcing your payroll could help, you know, talk about why, make sure that you're empathizing with the fear and the worry that your prospect is having on why doing your own payroll has its problems. So you can demonstrate your expertise and your empathy by saying, I get it. This is hard for these reasons. And really, you know,
I love that. We often create we make a blog pledge for our clients before they start working with us. And within that blog pledge is, don't be so salesy. You know, if these are concerns, they're real concerns people are having. And so we need to talk to them about answering the real question, the real concern, getting to the root of it, not just pushing what we have to say. Right. So
right.
We love that. Great advice.
Okay. Next question.
Okay.
We have one other question submitted. Don't everybody continue to submit your questions. We only have two today. The second one is, what would you tell someone who has a lot of content on their site and on social media accounts, but are not seeing that many leads come in? What can they do to start generating more qualified leads?
I think my first thought would be, one, are you promoting the content enough? Are you getting it in front of the right people? Do you have the right audience for it? And are you promoting it enough? Because if you have all this content and you feel the content should be getting, you know, more downloads, more form fills because it's relevant. It's what your prospects are thinking and they want to know. And so you have all this content and they're not downloading it.
Is it the right content?
Are you promoting it enough? Are you getting in front of them? And then the other one is that the content they want to read? I don't know. You know, are you reading?
It goes back to right people, right content, right time. Are you creating content for the right people, your target persona? Are you giving it to them at the right time in their buyer's journey? And is it really answering the right questions?
Right. Because no one wants to download and trade their personal information knowing that a seller is going to reach out to them if they don't actually want the information. Like, that's in order to generate a good lead, you have to have someone who is like, you know, wanting to read the information you're providing. So I think it boils down to those two things. One is the content right? Two is, are you promoting it enough to the right people? I mean, I think really start there. And then, you know, there's more things that you could do after that, like optimize the landing page or, you know, things like, are you asking too many questions in your forms or the right questions or, you know, yada, yada, yada. But first and foremost,
it's the slow down before you speed up. Don't just crank out a ton of content. It's great that you have a lot of content on your site. There's nothing wrong with that, but less more valuable content might do you better.
Less, more valuable content, for sure. People get overwhelmed in the weeds. Sense making.
Ah, there it is.
Here's your content.
This has been fun, as always, Emily.
Yes.
Talking shop with you, and tune into our next episode, listeners.
Yes, follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks for joining.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And if you've got a question for us, head to the show notes and let us know what's on your mind.
And visit our website, leadg2.com, where you can find even more helpful B2B sales and marketing resources.